You're listening to His Time. It is Wednesday, August 19th. I'm Andy Bates, 7:45 Central Time. The 66th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not too far, well, what, less than a year away. And it's time to, well, it's already past time to start preparing for that. But the next step in preparation for that, especially for congregations, is in order right now. And joining me in studio to discuss that, the Reverend Dr. Raymond Hartwig. He's the secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Hartwig, welcome to His Time.
It's good to be with you.
Good to have you here in this studio. Just talking before we went on the air, here in the building all the time. I see you in the building all the time, and this is the first time that we've had a chance to talk in the studio. So glad to have you here at Worldwide KFUO. Share with us about the responsibilities of the secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, I think people don't really understand what the secretary does because it's kind of a quiet position. I tell my grandkids that I do hours and hours of minutes and minutes, thinking that that must be what secretaries do. But, you know, I'm the corporate secretary for the Synod, and so there's a lot of legal matters to take care of. I also handle the dispute resolution process of the Synod and sit on a number of boards and commissions. But when you look in the handbook of the Synod at my responsibilities, they are by far the greatest, has to do with conventions and getting ready for the next convention. And then when a convention is over, then putting the pieces together.
Structure and detail seem to be an important part of this position. We, you know, with the handbook and all the details from convention, all these things, attention to this detail is really important in your position.
It is, you know, and I never knew myself to be someone who was all that interested in that until I was elected, and I found that that's something that I kind of enjoy doing, and I've done it for a number of years, and it's been a great experience.
Where and how were you serving prior to being elected as secretary for the Synod?
I was immediately before. I was the president of the South Dakota District, and I had been for 10 years. Prior to that, I was in pastoral ministry.
So a parish pastor and then district president then came, was elected to serve as secretary for the Synod. And now you've been here six terms, is that correct?
This will be six terms, yes.
18 years?
18 years.
What a milestone and quite a time of service. Now, this at this next convention, the secretary of synod will be that's one of the positions that we're calling for nominations.
That is correct. Yes,
your time is coming to a close.
Yes, this position is always it's up for election every 3 years. So I've lived with elections, but this time my name will not be on the ballot.
So that is one of several names or positions that this ballot is calling for. And right now, just recently, the email or postcard went out to congregations, if I remember correctly, calling for nominations for a number of positions across Synod. Secretary of Synod certainly is one of those. Tell us about some of the other positions that are being called for, or the nominations are being called for.
Well, there are also some board of directors positions. Mm-hmm. There are boards of directors of our synod-wide corporations, LCEF, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there are all the boards of regents positions elected by the synod. The synod elects four members to each board of regents, each of our schools.
So board of directors for Concordia University System, as you mentioned, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, just a number of positions, board of regents for the seminaries and colleges. Some of these call for ordained ministers or commissioned ministers, laypersons, and all that information is in the postcard or the email that went out recently as well with those details. How do congregations submit these nominations, and what's the process from there? How do they submit their nominations?
Well, the nominations are really wide open. Mm-hmm. Any individual that belongs to any of our congregations can submit a nomination. So we look for and hope for a large return of possible candidates for these positions. If anyone is interested, probably the best thing to do is to go to the Synod's website and look at conventions. And there it'll be clear how to make nominations. We have a nominations form that's a fill-in form that makes it pretty easy to submit them. And then we'll follow up with that information when it comes to my office.
So just go to lcms.org and look for convention, which is a button on the bar on the right, I believe, right.
So
you click on that, and that'll take you.
I know it's there somewhere. I don't go there very often.
It's the one on the far right on the blue bar there, so at the near the top of the page, and that'll take you right to the convention page, and you can look through the 2016 convention details. And
yeah, we did also send out printed materials to all congregations, so they should have received a packet at some point. Informing them of what we're doing. And, of course, this first portion of the nominations process, which has to do with the nominating committee making choices and providing ballots for the convention. This goes until now October 9th, and then this part will be finished.
And the nominations that are being called for, I know we mentioned some of the qualifications. Some are for ordained ministers, some are laypersons, some are commissioned church workers as well. Are there qualifications that are listed that we need to know when we're making nominations, other than those that I just mentioned?
Again, I might have looked at our website to see just what is there, but I'm sure that there is the same material that we sent out to the congregations, which for each position that we're receiving nominations, there is a descriptive paragraph of the duties of this and basically the kinds of aptitudes and skills that will be required.
Very good. So the mailing went out. You can also find that information on lcms.org/convention. You can find a lot of the information there as well. Now, once a congregation submits a nomination, where does that information go?
That information comes to my office here at the International Center. We respond with a questionnaire type thing and a paper which gives that person who's been nominated the opportunity to provide us with some information and also to indicate to us whether he or she is willing to serve. And then when we receive that back, and it's a little more complicated than this, but when we receive that back, we then pursue references, and we obtain references from people that know these people. And all of this is kept then in files, which are delivered to the Committee for Convention Nominations, and they will meet next January.
So then all these names and the background information then that's gathered, the references, the questionnaire, things like that, that's given to the Committee for Nominations.
Right. Then it becomes their business. So my office gathers the information together and turns it over to them, and then they go about their work, and they do this in a weekend of 4 or 5 days or whatever. They go through all this and develop their slates. They must provide at least 2 candidates for each open position out of the names that we have received. So it's very important, especially with boards of regents, to that we have a goodly number of nominees for the committee to look at.
As the committee works through all the nominations that have come in and all the materials, I gather they probably have a set of criteria that they need to work through in order to put those to establish the slate for each position.
They have actually the material that's been sent out, but they also have a better idea. They also listen to some of these entities and their special needs. Right now, the last convention determined that every nominee is for any of these positions is to receive an additional questionnaire asking about service in one of the boards of regents or one of the CUS positions. And when we receive those questionnaires back, that too becomes a part of the process of determining those people most qualified to serve. Board of Regents services become a very it's always been important, but it's pretty technical now. There's a whole lot of need for skill sets, whether it's in finance or administration, so that the people on our boards can do a good job.
Now, the positions that nominations are being called for at this time, many of them are volunteer positions. Are they all volunteer, or some are full-time positions?
No,
I guess
these are volunteer positions. These are all boards, and all of our boards are volunteers.
Except for secretary, right?
And the secretary, yeah.
That's a full-time position.
I sort of forget that one. That is the one exception. Now all the other officers either elected in a different way or else are appointed, such as treasurer and a mission officer.
I know some of them may be volunteers, but they may seem like full-time positions.
I think that's true.
Well, it's quite a task, and I'm sure that you have a great team that works with you in your office, in the office here at the International Center, to keep all these things organized.
I do. I have a team of one and a half. My administrative assistant or executive assistant, Pam Week, he handles a lot of this detail, and we also have half use of the chief financial officer's assistant. So we kind of have one and a half plus all of the help that's provided by our Department of Roster Statistics and Research. So we have a good process and it works well.
Quite a task ahead. Now, this these nominations are, the deadline for these nominations is October 9th. So these need to be submitted in the next month.
Need to be thinking about it seriously now, yes.
Need to be submitted soon in the next month. And then the next round comes up. And what's the next round
of nominations? This part of the nominations process is the part that deals with the Committee for Convention Nominations. Goes through their committee. They create the slate for each office. But beginning then in October, around October 1st, we will be sending out the ballots. And the other nominating process is a ballot process. And this is for president, all the vice presidents, many of whom now are regional positions, all of our mission board positions, certain board of directors positions. Matter of fact, we had to create 19 different ballots to satisfy this process. And every congregation will receive in the mail its ballots that it needs. These are official ballots that they must use for the elections that pertain to them. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge process.
And that doesn't begin until October. So we may have to talk about that again in October just to keep our minds
straight. That's a whole different process for sure.
Absolutely. Dr. Hartwig, thank you so much for sharing this information with us. Again today, to find more information about the nominations, submitting nominations, you can go to lcms.org/convention. You can find the recent convention postcard mailings and the instructions for this. Dr. Hartwig, thanks for being our guest this morning on His Time, sharing with us about it, and look forward to learning more along the way.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Michael Schramm from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Buller, Wisconsin, and Zion Lutheran Church in Eland, Wisconsin. We'll get into 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today, verses 17 through 34, and we'll have some sacred music along the way. You're listening to His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.